In her book, Smoke on the Mountain, Joy Davidman tells the story of a little old man. His eyes blinked and his hands trembled. When he ate, he made a terrible clatter with his silverware on the plate. He frequently missed his mouth with the spoon and dribbled a bit of his food on the tablecloth. Now, he lived with his married son, having no other place to go, and his son's wife did not care for the arrangement. "I can't have this," she said. "It interferes with my own happiness." So she and her husband took the old man gently but firmly by the arm and led him to a corner of the kitchen. There they set him on a stool and gave him his food in an earthenware bowl. From then on, he always ate in the corner, looking back at the table with wistful eye. One day, his hand trembled rather more than usual, and the earthenware bowl fell and broke. "If you are a pig," said the daughter-in-law, "you must eat out of a trough." So they made him a little wooden trough, and he got his meals in that. These people had a 4-year-old son of whom they were very fond. One evening, the young man noticed the boy playing intently with some pieces of wood and asked what he was doing. "I'm making a trough," he said, smiling up at his father for approval, "to feed you and Mama when I get big." The man and his wife looked at each other for a little while and didn't say anything. Then they cried a little. Then they went to the corner and took the old man by the arm and led him back to the table. They set him in a comfortable chair and gave him food on a plate. And from then on, no one even scolded when he clattered or spilled or broke things. Then Joe Davidman writes, "One of Grimm's fairy tales, this anecdote has the crudity of older, simpler days. But perhaps crudity is what we need to illustrate the naked and cruel point of the fifth commandment. Honor your parents, lest your children dishonor you." But 2 weeks ago, when I preached my final sermon in the series on Love Has a Selective Memory, I had included in the scripture reading that morning the portion we read today about honoring your parents. However, as so often happens, my sermons got longer than I anticipated, and I never got around to talking about that part of the reading. But one of our members came to me and said, "Dr. Jumper, you must preach about love and honoring your parents. You see, I need to know what to do when I have some bitter feelings toward my parents." Well, that can be a very real problem. For example, suppose you have a father who was cruel, domineering, and mean. How would that make you feel about the very word father? And how could you pray, "Our Father who art in heaven"? You see, the fact is, we do attach great emotional weight to certain words through the experiences we have had. For example, the word dog may conjure up fear in the heart of an adult who was badly frightened by a big dog as a child. For some people, the very word airplane may cause them to feel panicky, for their hands to turn clammy and to break out in a sweat. Gary Sweeten, a pastor at the College Hill Presbyterian Church in Cincinnati, writing recently in a magazine, Renewal News, tells of a profound experience he had recently. As he remembered his parents, he wrote, "The physical response, as I remembered, brought constrictions in my chest, loss of breath, pain. He goes on to add, long buried thoughts flooded my mind. The Lord took me back to the womb where once again I felt rejected and angry because I had perceived that my parents wanted a girl instead of a boy. I saw myself as a young child who had been given harmful nicknames. I've been kidded all my life about being so ugly when I was little. And then Dr. Sweeten concludes, then it occurred to me that I needed to confess and ask forgiveness for a bitter and deep root of judgment against my parents and against myself. Well, how do you handle feelings like that? What do you do if your memories of your parents are less than perfect? And what do you do today if your parents make unreasonable demands on you, if they still seek to control you or manipulate you? And what do you do if you have lost respect for a father or a mother? What do you do if you realize now that your parents are not what you thought they were, and you are disillusioned about who they are and what they are? Well, those are tough questions, are they not? The first thing I would like to do this morning is to differentiate between verse 1 and verse 2 of our scripture for this morning. Verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Here the Bible establishes the principle of family relationships, for the children are under the authority of the parents. In that sense, this command has a limited duration in the life of the believer. At some point, I move out from under the control of my parents. At some point, I must assume responsibility for my own behavior, for my own conduct, for my own life. And frequently in many families, during that transitional period, there may be serious conflict when parents are unwilling to release their authority over their children, or the children are trying to seize control of their freedom too soon. So as long as I'm a child, the biblical principle puts me under the authority of my parents, but at some point I am no longer a child. I become an adult, responsible for my own life. The command then has a time limitation. But verse 2 says, honor your father and mother. And this verse has no limitation. It is not limited by time. And it is not a command as much as it is a commandment. Now I want to make this distinction very clear. The command to obey my parents has a time limitation. But the commandment to honor my parents does not. That is one of the distinguishing features of a commandment. It has no time limitation. I think a lot of problems that people have in relating to their parents as they mature revolves around the misunderstanding of the difference. You see, there is a distinct difference between obeying my parents and honoring my parents. When I use the word honor, what do you think of? Over in 1 Peter 2:17, the writer says, honor the king. What does that mean, to honor the king? In 1 Timothy 6:16, Peter writes that the elders of the church are worthy of double honor. What does it mean to give double honor to an elder? And in Romans 3:17, in speaking of the civil authorities, Paul says we are to pay them their dues. He says we are to pay taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due. And in another place, St. Paul says, honor your wives. And what does that mean? So what does it mean to honor someone? Does it not mean to treat them with dignity? I think that was the point of the little story I told at the beginning of this sermon. The failure of the couple in dealing with the father was their failure to honor him by treating him with the dignity he deserved. Maybe you never thought of it just this way before, but to dishonor our parents has a price tag to it. First of all, bitterness, resentment, harsh memories have a high price to them. Those kinds of feelings cause internal emotions that can be physically debilitating. Dr. Sweeten, whom I mentioned earlier, talked about his physical response to his internal feelings about his parents. He writes, "I had a vision of myself in bondage, tied by smooth, taut cables." And as he talked about the deep hurt in his heart, he said, "The physical response was constrictions in my chest, loss of breath, pain." Second, when we dishonor our parents, it hurts our relationship to God. Anytime I am consciously out of God's will for my life, it damages my relationship to God. Isn't that true in your life too? To honor our parents is a commandment from God. As someone put it, it's one of the Big Ten. And when I knowingly and consciously and deliberately dishonor my parents, it disfellowships me from God. It breaks my relationship. It damages my spiritual life. It keeps me from that redemptive fellowship with God that's so essential if I'm to have inner peace and serenity. Does that make sense to you? If there is a damaged relationship between you and your parents, it damages your relationship to God because you're out of His will for your life. Then in the third place, to dishonor my parents is to devalue my own worth. Did you realize that? To put down my parents is to devalue the source of my being. It is to lower my own sense of self-esteem. It is to lower my own evaluation of who, of what I am. So dishonoring my parents is damaging to me. Let me say a word about honoring. When you become an adult, you no longer have an obligation to be obedient to your parents, but you still have the duty to honor them. And what does it mean to honor? Sometimes we get the mistaken idea that honoring means doing what parents want or what they say. But in an adult, that may cause confusion or anger or resentment. And that isn't honoring, is it? If I let myself be manipulated into doing something that is destructive to my life, and if it creates disharmony and anger, then I cannot honor my parents. No, honoring is not to do what they say, but it is to show love and respect even when it is not deserved or earned. Isn't that the meaning of agape love? It means forgetting old wounds, old hurts, old resentments. It means accepting and loving someone because we have chosen deliberately and intentionally to forget and to forgive the past. Honoring means to express love that is uncaused, undeserved, unmerited. And even when your parents may be dead and there are old hurts, you must go back and learn how to forgive and to forget that healing might occur in your life. Moss Hart, the great writer, once recalled a childhood Christmas. His family was quite poor, but his father took him shopping along the busy streets of New York City. They were looking for young Moss a Christmas present. The merchandise was displayed in push carts along the street, and the boy's eyes were fixed upon such extravagances as chemistry sets or toy printing press and other modern wonders of the world. Each time they found something that young Moss liked, his father would ask the merchants the price, and then he would shake his head sadly and move on. At the end of the push carts, when they came to the last ones, they still had made no purchase. And here's what Moss Hart writes about the event. I heard my father jingle some coins in his pocket. In a flash, I knew it all. He had gotten together about 75 cents to buy me a Christmas present. He hadn't dared to say so in case there was nothing to be had for that small a sum. As I looked up at him, I saw a look of despair and disappointment in his eyes that brought me closer to him than I had ever been in my life. I wanted to throw my arms around him and say, "It doesn't matter. I understand. This is better than a printing press. I love you." But instead, we stood shivering beside each other for a moment and turned away from the last two push carts and started silently back home. I didn't even take his hand on the way home, nor did he take mine. We were not on that basis. Nor did I ever tell him how close I felt to him that night. I never told him that for a little while, the concrete wall between father and son had crumbled away, and I knew that we were two lonely people struggling to reach out and touch each other. To honor our parents means to reach out and to touch each other, to tell one another that in spite of everything, we care about each other. To honor means that even though we received no present, even though they gave us nothing, still on the way home, we can take each other's hand. Let us pray. Let's pray.